Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But, Coach, I got to toss it to you. The Steelers, another disappointing end to a season.
Mm. It's a manner with which they lost, Nate. You talk about the physicality and the fact that the Ravens rushed for almost 300 yards. That's something they have to look at in this offseason. Probably some changes on that football team, players and coaches, because right now that's going to stick with them for a long time. It's not that they lost. It's the manner with which they lost the football game.
So that's Bill Cowher. He's a Hall of Famer. That was on the CBS postgame show. He knows what it takes to coach and win in Pittsburgh. He had some pretty harsh words for that franchise coming out of that game.
Yeah, I mean, they put some lipstick on the pig in the second half. So, I mean, look, if you would have told me at halftime that this thing was going to be 38-0, I might have said, c'est la, c'est la. So it comes out not looking as bad. And I say that because they've had a slew of 3-score losses in the playoffs. Yeah. So 14 for them is like, But yeah, I mean, Kirk Herbstreit was calling out the Steelers during that broadcast in a way that you don't usually hear, especially during a playoff game. How much of that falls on Mike Tomlin? What dominoes fall? It's clear that the pieces on defense started not to fit as well in the second half of the season, and I think health had something to do with it. But there also seems to be a interpersonal dynamics part of this where personalities clashed. There were differing opinions, I think, about what they should be doing. That falls on Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin, his longtime coordinator. Like, those guys are going to have to figure out who belongs and who doesn't. I'm not sure that they can just run this thing back. There's got to be a lot of embarrassed guys right now. Like that film, and I don't know how much to look at it because it's over now. There's nothing to prep for 9 months.
Coaches will look at it.
But I mean, like with the team. I think those guys have already exited the building, but I don't know, man. They're going to have a hell of an offseason.
I don't see how Mike Tomlin is not on the hot seat entering next year because it has gotten – that was unacceptable. That first half of that football game. And you mentioned the other playoff game. So they trailed 21-0 at halftime against the Ravens. They trailed 21-0 against Buffalo. These are all postseason. Trailed 35-7 in Kansas City. 28-0 against the Browns. 21-0 against Blake freaking Bortles at home following a bye. Trailed 36-9 at New England in this postseason losing streak. They're not losing. They're getting embarrassed. Yeah. They're getting embarrassed. And Jerry Dulac, he had that tweet. What was it? 3 of the past 5 years, they've had 3-game losing streaks following Thanksgiving. Something has to change because we're getting to the point where it's the definition of insanity, running it back. And when we were talking about this prior to the show, Ken, you brought up Andy Reid got fired in Philly. Andy Reid's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Mike Tomlin's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. But at some points, it runs its course. Mike Tomlin is giving you an exceptionally high floor an exceptionally high floor. We've never seen this type of non-losing seasons. But yeah. Your ceiling is right around the floor right now.
Put it in perspective. The last time they won a playoff game, Barack Obama was our president.
I mean, dude,
that like let that sink in for a minute.
We're talking about the Steelers right now. They have the longest active postseason losing streak in football.
Yeah, I talked to Jerry Dulac a little after the game. He says hello, Jason. By the way,
hello, Jerry. If you're listening.
Friend of the show.
Hope you're out on the golf course.
Yeah, he probably is. Now the season's over, but he's like he kept beating into my head like 63-0. Now they've been outscored in the first quarter of the last five playoff games. Like they start slow and fall behind, and then it's over. Like that's what happens.
I really feel like too. I was thinking about this a lot today. I understand why they rode the Russ thing, but I really think if they started the season with Russ and gave Russ the quick hook, it might have actually been better for them.
Could have been. I mean, not a Fields guy, but I hear you because I'm not a yeah.
Now Russ was hurt. Otherwise, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. But that's why it went the way it went.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think they would have had as quick of a hook with Russ, but I think if Russ is really good for 6 to 8 weeks and Russ ran out of gas in November and you change it up and go to the more dynamic, younger thing, more explosive thing, and maybe you hit people in the run game differently, and I think you let Fields have a longer leash. Like, Fields wasn't playing bad.
No.
He wasn't turning it over a ton. Like, I feel like they lost an opportunity to see more of Fields to figure out what he could be there. And now they go into the offseason. I mean, one guy I think is Cook. The other guy, he's got warts. He's not perfect. He has imperfections. But go look at who's out there on the market. And they had Fields, and they only looked at him for six games instead of 8 or 12 or whatever.
And that's the issue where what is really going to change this offseason? You have a crappy pick. Because yep. You continue to have winning seasons.
You're mid, you're the Bullets,
exactly.
The Wizards.
You're better than
but I mean, it's hard to get better when you don't draft high enough.
But come on.
They haven't won a playoff game since 2016.
Come on with a better comp than the
Wizards. But the Wizards now suck. I'm talking about the Wizards that were forever mid. The Bradley Beal, John Wall Wizards that would get to the second round of the playoffs and could never win 50 games. And 50 games, they won 50 games since 1978, so it's been longer than that. Not these current crop of Wizards.
Like
That's not
Dallas
fair.
Cowboys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what they do at quarterback other than bring one of these guys back.
Omar's got a really, really interesting offseason to navigate.
They need more pass catchers, obviously. They've been great historically drafting them. The offensive line could still use a little help. And I think the defensive line, the interior D-line's got to get younger and more impactful too. And now I just wonder about... Boy, does Minka fit there? Like, do they need Minka's to figure out their secondary?
Let's hear one from Tomlin before we step out. Cut 122, Ben. What did he think the difference in the game was?
You know, congratulations to the Ravens, man. They were the better group today. That was obvious. And really, you know, the X factor was Lamar's unique talents. It seems like every time we got him behind the sticks, he made up for it, or we got him in a possession down circumstance, he extended and won those circumstances, and we never really found a fluid answer all day. Obviously, that was highlighted by our inability to convert third downs in the first half, and they wore us down a little bit. The fatigue component of it became a factor. And so, you know, you can sum it all up to say that they were certainly the better group today.
What do you hear there, Jason?
I hear someone who knows that he's going to have some difficult meetings with ownership and that somebody who – I think as much as they win a ton of regular season games, and they do, he's got to feel the chasm between his franchise right now and the Ravens, even though they split this year and everything else, and the Chiefs and the Bills. To say nothing of some of the elite in the NFC, they're not in that category.
Is he on the hot seat entering next year?
I think so.
But you think he comes back this year? You just mean entering next year is where you are?
I think by this time next year, if their season doesn't end in a better note, then I think he might be getting traded.
Wow. Hey, coming up next, we want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Give us a call. Your thoughts on the Ravens' win over the Steelers. Maybe some early thoughts on the game against the Bills. But the people speak next. 410-583.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
105.7. Time to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. And we got a lot of people on hold here. What are your thoughts on the win over Pittsburgh? Any early thoughts on the Bills as well? Let's head out to the phone lines. 410-583-1057. Get started with Trippy. Trippy, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on with y'all, man? Happy New Year's, man.
Happy New Year.
Trippy asked Russell Wilson before the game what his favorite Future song was. Which was quite a move.
Look, to be honest with you, I don't see why people was mad about it.
I thought it was hysterical.
Right, you know what I mean? But look, hey, watch the question I got for Josh Allen when I go up Sunday. But look, man, the game against the Steelers, like, I was just sitting here thinking, right, like, damn. Like, I feel like the Ravens really locked in because, like, to be honest with you, the Steelers always had out numbers. And I said that when he had the players, and I just feel like, they weren't going for that Saturday, and I feel like it's going to be the same thing against Buffalo. And then we're going to go to Kansas City. I know they say take it one game at a time, but I'm looking forward, you know, to February 9th in New Orleans.
I appreciate the call. I've said for a while, Jason, we've been talking about this since they played them the first time. I think the Ravens are a bad matchup for the Bills. We've been talking about that for – you've been confident about it for a couple weeks.
I'm on to Arrowhead.
Cross Street Market.
On to Arrowhead.
Let's go to
then it gets funky.
Yeah. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey,
what's
there.
Going? Hey. I was on the front of the Steelers pages, right? And they was commenting on that Trippy video, and one of the Steelers fans was like, man, I wish Russell Wilson would have went over there and just cocked that guy in his mouth, man. Hit him in his mouth. Wow. I was like, man, Russell Wilson ain't got no fight in him, man. Come on, man. He's the last person going to throw a punch at somebody. But, yeah, man, it was a big win, though. with this Derrick Henry and Lamar tandem, I don't see nobody being to stop that, man. You know, if they go with that same game plan they did the other day against the Steelers, man. You know, and none of these teams got the 2000 Ravens defense either, man, that's in the playoffs left. So nobody can stop us, man. You know, like, I think we're going all the way. You feel me?
I appreciate the call. A lot of confidence. Confidence is high, Jason. Confidence is very high.
Rightfully so. There's a lot of really good things happening for this football team at the best possible time. Not the least of which is seeing an offense operate in the playoffs as if it was the regular season against an opponent that has its flaws but got here for a reason. And I'm also old enough to remember them completely shutting down this offense 6 weeks ago in Pittsburgh or whatever
it was. Yeah, yeah.
Doing it from start to finish. And credit the defense for turning it around in the fourth quarter, but the offense absolutely suffocated the Steelers in the fourth quarter, possessing the ball for damn near 12 and a half minutes there. They closed the game.
Let's go to Mike in Bel Air. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. The question I have is, why everyone knew the Ravens were better. Why did the Steelers, I guess ultimately Tomlin, think it was a good idea to just play him straight up? Like Jason was saying, the Fields, Justin Fields, or a situation that came to my mind when Watson made that great tackle on fire move, like a half yard short. Why not go for it? Why not steal him a possession? I don't get it.
Now, no, we've been talking. I appreciate the call. We didn't get how he didn't go for it there either. Like fourth and short.
A lot of things didn't make sense to me. They decide to go to the quick pass screen game and then have Najee Harris on the field and not Warren. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I don't. I mean, do you think you're going to fool people? Is that what you're thinking? Why there wasn't sort of flea flickers? Why they didn't
try? They did try a flea flicker, but it didn't work.
Once, yeah. I mean, but like even end of rounds for Pickens, yeah. Or I'm not a big Arthur Smith guy. I don't know. I think he's overrated.
Bobby D,
Arthur Smith guy.
He is not. Let's go out to Larry in Baltimore. Larry, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, I got a couple things. What happened to Brandon Stevens? Because he wasn't that sorry at first.
Now, he was good last year. We thought he was going to get a bag. And now he might get a bag. Well, fans are putting bags over their head is what they're doing.
Well, we've seen guys, real quick on that one, we've seen some guys, he turned down a lot of money in the offseason.
Yes.
And that, with a slow start, can get in people's heads. And not everybody responds to that the same way. And then you start, you know, fighting what could have been. And the whole thing snowballs in a negative way. Like, that walk year doesn't always work out for everybody.
Let's go to Joaquin in Baltimore. Joaquin, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Hey,
just to let y'all know, it was the best win and I've seen in a while, just to beat the Steelers down. You can't beat that. No pun intended. But you know what I was thinking about? Me, I was talking to another coworker, and they're watching film on the Ravens' physicality on both sides of the ball. I guarantee it. And it's almost going to be like, you know, when Mike Tyson, you know, when he was out and people didn't want to fight him before the match even started. Their physicality on offense, their physicality on defense, is they're the only team that I really see like that right now. And I got them going up there getting physical with Buffalo, and we'll see what happens. But I like how the Ravens are extremely, extremely knocking people upside the head, what Rosengardner did, what Pelele's doing, Ronnie Stanley. He got some, you know, penalties, but they're trying to crush people, man, and that mentality is great, and I think it'll travel, and I hope it's bad weather, and I see Lamar don't care about the weather, but, you know, let me just say this, the Steelers were cheating, too. They were trying to hurt Lamar, and I ain't like that.
Appreciate the call. He got an excellent knee to the back. Jason, you mentioned the extra jumbo offense, and yeah, that's the big boys having their way with the defense and being physical.
Yeah, even the Kansas City Chiefs, like, have to run some numbers and look at some film, and it's been, we haven't seen them since week one. I don't know how they would hold up against this right now, because week one, the pistol stuff wasn't really there for the Ravens. And I think there was still a feeling out process going on, not just with Lamar and Derrick Henry at the mesh point that Todd Monken has let us know gave him some trepidation, but like even the chemistry between Ricard and Derrick Henry wasn't there. Like, this run game has evolved so much since week one.
Well, think about all that's changed. Andrew Voorhees started that football game.
Yeah.
Patrick McCary and Rosengarten were rotating at right tackle. The Ravens didn't play in the preseason, had a very sloppy first half. Remember the first drive of the season when Ronnie Stanley was called for a legal formation 17 times. There's been a lot of
remember
change,
that,
both sides.
Remember the point of emphasis that seemed to be only a point of emphasis in that Ravens-Chiefs game that they talked about? Well, it's a point of emphasis, this illegal formation thing, and it was called like 1,000 times in that game, and then it never got called again.
It's funny how that happens.
It's just really bizarre. I totally forgot about that. Let's go back out the phone lines to 410-583-1057. Bob is in Lansdowne. Bob, you're on the Fan.
Hello. I'm really impressed the way the Ravens rallied after they started off 0-2, and I think we're going to win against the Buffalo 28-24.
Appreciate the call. They started 0-2. It didn't look good. And here they are. Remember, they went into the last month two games back for the division and took it.
They've been playing with a sense of urgency and with a real sort of need from a standing standpoint for a solid 6 weeks now. And really, the Browns, that Browns game was obviously a letdown.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders game happened really early in the year. But, like, other than the Browns game, second half of the year, am I missing something?
You're saying in terms of poor
of losing, yeah, of like, no, like I mean, losing at Pittsburgh. Like, I got news for you. You're not going to sweep Pittsburgh every year. No. Like, you're not going to sweep Pittsburgh a lot. History would tell you.
Losing
so,
to
like,
the Eagles.
I can't go crazy. The Eagles,
Exactly.
Eagles beat. They won, like, what, 13 in the last 14 games?
One of the best four teams in football, the Eagles,
and that was their final game before the really late bye week.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're hey, you guys want to ride the calls? We got a bunch of phone calls on hold.
Let's do it.
More with the people. 410-583-1057. Your thoughts on the win over the Steelers? Early thoughts on the Bills next here on the Fan. Ravens win 28-14 Saturday. They take on the Bills in Buffalo. That game's a 6:30 p.m. Sunday game. It's the last game of the divisional round. And we want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Let's get things started with Shiloh in West Baltimore. Shiloh, you're on the Fan.
Good afternoon, fellas. Good afternoon. Monday.
Happy Monday.
Hey, look, man. Check this out real fast, right? Look, I'm so excited. I ain't know I was going to get through so fast, right? But how does it feel to have a quarterback that could win a third MVP in the years he's been in the league, right? The same guy they said shouldn't have been a quarterback, right? Look, real fast, right? Now, the Ravens should never lost that first game against the Steelers, right? Now, you know we scored a touchdown. They only scored the field goal, but we lost, right? By 2 points. I love the win against the Steelers, right, to beat them down like that. How would it feel to go up in Buffalo and beat Josh Allen up? Because they not trying to get my – I don't say they ain't trying to get him the MVP, but they trying to act like it's a contest. Lamar has outplayed this guy in every category other than rushing touchdowns, right? The last thing, let me ask you guys, what can we do about this Brandon Stevens problem? Because I think every OC going to go after this guy, man. Yeah. And I know he – right, like y'all said, last year he was – he was nice. I don't know what happened, but is there anything that we can do to fix that problem? And go Ravens, man. Go Ravens.
Appreciate the call. Like, I don't know how you fix it on the fly. I think it's now – it might be – he's not good on the field, but it's got to be in his head too.
Played 18 games at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you try to hide him. You play even more zone. I mean, look, there were a couple times where you didn't have a safety over top of Pickens, it looked like to me, which that's a luxury that they were afforded. The matchups will be a little different in this game. I would think these guys would lean even more into some two tight end sets, so you're picking your poison there in terms of who Marlins matched up on. I don't know. I kind of would maybe feel better about Stevens banging with I certainly don't want him on Shakir. Like, I want him banging on a tight end, I guess. I mean, that's, like, that's probably where I am on it. You give him, you give him permission to bang within, obviously, the 5 yards you're
permission
allowed
to. Bang granted.
And you hope he derails people, and you hope he throws off the timing there, and he can certainly run with tight ends.
It's tough. We got.
I don't know.
We got a bunch of people online who want to know about Brandon Stevens.
Amari Cooper and Shakir would be a problem.
Yeah. 410-583-1057. Chris is in Baltimore. He wants to talk about Brandon Stevens.
So this is the only thing I can hopefully suggest, and I hope it makes sense. You can either use T.J. Tampa as a as your third safety to roam over Stevens, or use, what's his name, Bayou Brady from Maryland.
Bo Brady, he ain't dressing.
Yeah.
Right. So,
but who comes off? Who comes off the field if those guys are on the field to shadow Stevens? Shadow Stevens, by the way, great DJ of the 80s.
No, no. What I'm saying is that you use a three safety rotation like they was using last year.
Yeah. Well, they got rid of that because it wasn't working this year. I hear you. I don't think, appreciate the call. I don't think they trust those guys, and they sure as heck aren't going to start it in a playoff game.
Would you like to guess how many
Brandon
snaps?
Stevens as the third safety would make sense if you really trust Tre'Davious White, but I don't know that I'm there.
Would you like to guess how many snaps T.J. Tampa has played on the season?
Well, he's been hurt most of the year.
On defense?
Yes, defense. 18.
I was going to say 15.
I don't think now is the time to work the T.J. Tampa experiment.
Yeah,
Next year, you might have tried
that in October, but next
year. Well, but I think my guy Josh Jones had played like 15 snaps all year, and he's played 31 in the last 3 weeks.
That's true, but he's also a little different role.
But I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
it's also you can mix some things up.
That's a sixth offensive line.
Yeah, he's also
maybe we do see more Tre'Davious White. Tre'Davious White revenge game.
Yeah, that is true. He's a Bill.
This show is a big revenge game.
We love the revenge games. Let's go to Larry in Woodstock. Larry, you're on the fan.
Hey guys, how you going? Hey, they're calling for a chance of snow Sunday night with the Bills game. They need to park them snow plows on the field because there is no way they're stopping that rushing attack with Lamar and Henry. My only concern is the weak points with our punt return and Stevens. Everybody in Maryland knows about Stevens. How that man has been the starter all this long in the season, I don't understand, but I do hope White gets some playing time and maybe gets a pick off his former team. That would be great. But Keaton, is there any way Keaton could field the punts? Because that guy was killing us in the steer, man.
And I appreciate the call.
I would let him do both. But I guess, look, they know better. I don't know, but
maybe Deontay Hardy comes back.
Was it three days ago where Chris Horton was telling us that how good the revolver? We got all these returners, man. We got so many returners. Guess what? We'll probably have another
next
week.
Did you notice after he muffed the first one, he literally ran away from the next two?
He didn't want any parts of that.
I'm sure they told him.
Please.
I'm guessing Deontay Hardy might get activated.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance, Bone. Let's go to Marcus in Baltimore. Marcus, you're on the fan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey there.
So I got married Saturday when the game was going on.
Congrats.
Mazel.
Thank you. And it was the best gift ever because my now wife is a huge Steelers fan. So it's her father and the entire family and my entire family is huge Ravens fans. So during the reception when the game was going on, I hear yelling and all I look over and see is her father with his head in his lap. And, man, my father running on the dance floor, chest bumping. It was fantastic. So it was probably the best wedding present I could ever get, but that's all I wanted to say. Uh-huh. Go Buff, go Ravens.
Is your honeymoon in Buffalo? Are you going to honeymoon in Niagara Falls and stop at the game? No, you can't sell that?
No. We're going down south for the honeymoon, but I will be watching that game. And I got an old friend that lives in Buffalo, and he already hit me up, and I just sent him a picture of the old school. Like, don't get your hopes up, buddy.
Appreciate the call, and congratulations. Ah, nice wedding present.
Yeah.
You marry a Steelers fan, too. That must have been a fun party. Tyler's in Baltimore. Tyler, you're on the fan.
Hey, how y'all fellas doing today?
Hey there.
I knew the Ravens were going to do what they did over this weekend. I just think as Baltimore Ravens fans, man, especially going forward with the team we got for these next coming years, we got to let go of the superstition, enjoy the ride, just have some belief in this team. About this game coming this weekend, playoffs is won with defense and run game. I feel like that's what we have the hedge at over the Bills, and I feel like that's just what we're going to do. Run the ball, play great defense. Enjoy your day.
Appreciate the call. Hey, the running game, and it's – They seem to have figured out a couple things over the last, what, 6 weeks, Jason, between the pistol now and the heavy jumbo. Like, a running game that we thought was really good to start with looks now ridiculously
good.
It's
so multifaceted, and they can beat you so many different ways, and they can throw out of all that. Out of all that stuff, too. It's not like they weren't throwing the ball when they were running the ball under center 60% of the time with Derrick Henry. And it's not like they can't run RPOs and throw the ball out of the pistol. And even the 6-0 line stuff, like, yeah, you don't have a whole lot of options to throw the ball to, but they run some of that stuff with Justice Hill. And I bet at some point in this playoff run, they're in a 6 offensive lineman set with the fullback out there, and Justice Hill takes a pass 30, 40 yards.
Yeah.
Watch.
Yeah. Do you want to grab one more? Let's grab Rodney in East Baltimore. Rodney, you're on the Fan.
Thanks for taking my call. I used to call in. I don't call in that often. But the last time I called in, I said to someone else on another show, the Ravens are simply a work in progress. Mm. They continue to progress. They rolled over the Steelers. Those guys were out there huffing and puffing and
yes,
running and crying because they were getting beat up. They have progressed to the point where you have to pick your poison. They can do anything they want to do. The Ravens' worst enemy are the Ravens. Nobody can beat the Ravens but the Ravens. That's all I got to say. Go Ravens.
Appreciate the call. Hey, I said this a while ago, Jason. If the Ravens don't turn the ball over and they don't commit penalties, I thought they were going to go to the AFC Championship game this year. Like, and now they've gotten through step one.
Yeah. And look, I think they're the more hardened, callous team than the Buffalo Bills. I mean, the Ravens have now played 11 games against playoff teams. The Bills have played half that. Yes, I feel very bullish about their ability to play their game and win this football game, and maybe win this football game somewhat comfortably.
To that point, Ken, 0 turnovers, only 3 penalties. And yeah, that crew called the most offensive holding and most defensive holding in the season, only 3 penalties on the Ravens.
I don't think, were there any on defense?
One
defensive holding, maybe?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
There were a couple procedural. There was 3, I thought, on the offensive
line.
Ronnie
had 2.
Yeah, Ronnie had 2.
The Ravens had 3 penalties for the game.
Right.
The Ravens had.
I don't think there were any on defense.
And we know 2 were Ronnie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they're pretty clean game defensively. Hey, coming up next, we do have to get to the Terps, and the Terps do take on Minnesota tonight, a game you can hear on 105.7 The Fan, beginning with the pregame coverage with me at 5:30.
Yeah. Yours truly.
That's right. Yours truly at 5:30. Terps tip at 6:30 against Minnesota. You hear it right here on 105.7 The Fan. Big win for them. We were down at the Maryland Club doing the show on Friday. They played UCLA Friday night, and we'll recap next here on The Fan.
Well, they're trying. They're trying. We just turned the ball over. You got no chance to turn the ball over the way we did tonight. In defense of my guys, I didn't think we were given any chance to win in the second half. I let Jeff Anderson know. I hit the showers.
So that was Mick Cronin after the game, talking to media after Maryland beat UCLA 79-61, and a game that Cronin got ejected in. He was not happy as Maryland started to run away with this game in the second half.
Yeah, this was sort of a first half where you kind of like, boy, they're letting these guys hang around, and you know, I the longer it stays a game, the more concern you get, and they just absolutely showed their superiority in the second half and pulled away. They were the more composed team. They were the more balanced team. UCLA was going to have to shoot the ball behind the perimeter to keep up with the kind of pace that the Terps are going to play with. And I think 5 of 20 was actually better than UCLA had done recently, but that still wasn't nearly enough. Their big man presented some problems. I still felt like there were times where UCLA was faring better on the offensive glass than I would have liked. You know, it was kind of a game where Queen kind of was in and out of it, but Juju dominated, and Gillespie dominated, and Gapari, when he got his legs going, he, you know, brought people to their feet. I really like where he is right now. Rice hit some big shots. Like, they took care of business and did what they had to do. And I feel bad for those UCLA kids, man. This is the second time their coach has acted the fool in less than a week. They hadn't been home in a while. There's obviously a natural disaster going on in Southern California. And I don't really buy what Cronin's selling there. It wasn't a good look.
The Terps would have won that game even before the Tech. They were up 9 with, what, 6 minutes, 7 minutes ago.
But that was 7 points.
That was a nail in the coffin.
Because four foul shots and a three.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the dagger there. I also want to give out a shout-out to how they played defensively.
Yes.
I mean, Gillespie had 4 steals. Gapari had a couple of blocks. Juju was really good down low, had a really nice block late in that game. And especially in the second half, they were really able to get things going defensively.
Gillespie had 27, and he missed a dunk at one point. He, overthought it, and at the last second tried to lay it in. I had to leave because I had to get back for some family. How was the atmosphere at the arena?
It was, I mean, especially for the students not being all back on campus. The student section was pretty full. It was. I thought it was a really good crowd.
The second half, it really got going.
Second half definitely real fired up. But overall, it was a good environment. I mean, look, there were pockets of seats in the corners that weren't sold, but that's going to happen, especially this time of year before they have everybody back on campus. But Maryland clearly came to play. The effort and compete level was there. And I think they're looking at these games as, again, must win is a little strong, but better win, had best win, and they got that one done, and they got to get it done tonight because then they go on the road, and they go on the road to face some teams in places where they've had difficulty winning. So I don't think Minnesota can run and gun with these guys either. If they play their game at their speed, I don't think Minnesota can keep pace. I don't think they can come close to keeping pace.
Ben, 15.5 point spread. Are you confident in the Terps to cover that spread?
Yes, very much so. I Minnesota is not a good basketball team. The Terps have beat up on bad teams all year. They should do it again tonight.
By the way, they play 3 games this week. They got Minnesota tonight, then they're at Northwestern, and then back home against Nebraska on Sunday. So it's a very big week. Then, as Jason alluded to, at Illinois, at Indiana.
Indiana on the road.
Yeah, the following week. So that's a day. And those are 2 good basketball teams. And then, nothing to sneeze at, especially on the road. Indiana's been up and down, but on the road, that's not going to be easy.
I don't think you take anyone lightly on the road with the Terps until proven otherwise.
I agree 100%. I wouldn't, at Minnesota, I wouldn't take for granted at this point in time. But, that was the kind of performance they needed coming back from the West Coast. A lot of guys contributed. They had, even DHS had quality minutes. Kapari off the bench, big time energy minutes, above the rim plays, block shots, the kind of stuff that will energize a crowd. And Juju is in a really nice vein of form right now.
Yeah, Julian Reese, 16 points, 10 rebounds in that game.
Got the IA bump, fellas.
He did. Yeah, he did.
3 guys in double figures. Miguel had 11, and then, of course, we talked about it, Gillespie, the 27 points in that basketball game. He was great. And since that dud game against Washington, he's been good the last 2.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened against Washington. He had 1 point and fell out in that game.
Everybody has a bad game.
Yeah, that was a weird one. But Maryland and Minnesota tonight at 6:30. Pregame coverage with yours truly at 5:30 right here on 105.7 The Fan. We are done a little early. And coming up next, Ravens getting ready for the Bills. John Harbaugh met with the media earlier today. Jonas Schaefer, he was there. He covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner, and he joins us next.